Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are breaking down the general rewards mentioned in Scripture that we will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "For each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And this chapter goes on to warn us to take heed how we build on the foundation of Christ, because each one's work will be revealed by fire in that day. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we discuss the promises of general rewards. Well, Janie, today you are going to school me on the rewards of the Bema.
Well, I don't know that I'm your best teacher, but I tell you what, we'll dive in together and see what we can find. Something that we hear when we talk about the Bema, we do hear about the crowns. But Sharon, there's some just general rewards that we're going to be able to benefit from, and we don't quite see those defined as distinct as the crowns. So let's talk about some of the general rewards.
Well, we probably need to explain that the Bema is the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right, but that is where we're going to give an account of every idle word, every deed. Sins are not brought up. They've been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's basically a place of where we receive rewards for how we've chosen to live our life unto the Lord Jesus Christ while traveling here below.
Until a few weeks ago, I had never heard of the Bema, and I had always heard of Judgment Seat of Christ, but never heard it called the Bema. So I think there might be other people out there. Unless I'm all alone.
No, I've had a couple of other people just since we've been talking about it said I've never heard that word before.
Yeah.
And
so,
again, it's like the word rapture. Rapture is not listed as the word rapture in the Scripture, but we certainly know that it is an event that described in much detail.
Right. It's a fact that we will stand before Jesus face to face to receive crowns and rewards. So, what are we starting with today?
Well, we're going to just spend a moment on praise because, Sharon, when you do a good job, don't you know that you like for someone to acknowledge it? Don't you appreciate that? And the scripture says, let another man praise you and not yourself.
It is nice.
All right?
It is nice to hear.
So then the scripture, though, that I want to give to confirm that is 1 Corinthians 4:5. And it says, "Now, don't you judge anything before the time until the Lord comes. And then every man," and I'm going to just say every person, "will have praise of God." No matter how your struggles have been here on earth, just the fact that you chose Jesus and eternal life will call him to offer you praise. No matter how many struggles I'm a failure. I just can't get anything right. I keep making the same mistakes over and over. Sharon, God dare not risk the loss of you, which has cost him the blood of his Son. He will not allow you to fail if you will lean, because the very reputation of him is at stake in what his Son went through to redeem you and call you into his family. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tried above which you are able. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Okay.
So what an assurance that as we are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, God will find praise for you when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge, at the judgment seat of Christ. And then there is the general reward of honor. Did you ever make the honor roll in school, Sharon?
I didn't in high school, but I did all through college.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
even a greater
achievement. Wow. Well, the scripture says in John 12:26, that if any man serves me, him will my Father honor. So as we enjoy to have the recognition and honor of a job well done, then if we will serve the Lord in a dependent spirit, recognizing the resurrection life and what has been given to us to live the life more abundantly, John 10:10, then there will be honor. There will be recognition also when we ascend those stairs, and I'm making a word picture in my mind, but when we ascend to the throne to have the Lord say, hopefully, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay. And then there is another general reward, and you might want to speak on that a little bit, about the treasures. What does the scripture tell us about laying up treasures?
In Matthew 6:6-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Boy, I tell you what, now there is a solution for a lot of heartaches that people are experiencing today. Their treasures are in the earth-bound things. It might be anything from a Subaru to a Ferrari, or it might be the big mansion, or it might be the multiple trips of escape to exotic places. Uh-huh. But if our focus is here on our 70 or approximately 70 years, that's going to fade. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I tell you what, as a young woman, I kept thinking I was going to get ahead of the game financially and have some treasures here that we could enjoy. And then you would have another situation that would
take it,
or we would wind up adopting another child that would really take it. And so then to lay up your treasures where no one can steal them, no one can take them away. It's a permanent bank account for your benefit, showing that you wanted to glorify the Lord in your time spent here.
Janie, I think it's really hard for us to wrap our heads around that sort of thing, because everything is temporal for us.
We've known nothing else, right?
Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for us to wrap our heads around the eternal and what it's going to be like and what kind of treasures, you know, God is going to give us. And, you know, what does that entail?
Well, it means more than what we can go really into to time today. But I will tell you something, and this would be a confession, but I used to read Revelations 2:3. And I would see the things that the Lord says to him that overcomes, I will give a white stone. Mm-hmm. Oh, a white stone. Okay. All right. I will give you to rule over the nations. I don't even like ruling over my own family. Why do I want to rule over the problems of all the nations? or I will give you your own name. Well, what's in a name? Well, characters in a name. Well, I looked at these things and I thought, this is what God says is important to him. And I realized we were not on the same wavelength. So I realized that we really do have to read about the general treasures with a heart of faith, because we don't comprehend the greatness that the Lord has told us that he comprehends. Yeah. So many of these treasures we do have to accept by faith. But when we look at the God of our faith and we look at how he has taken us through the trials, and we have the examples of millennial in the Old Testament scriptures, then we get a handle on the fact, is he going to be any less faithful to us then than what he has been in the past? I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, we have always talked about sharing the absolutes of life, which are really our foundation. And now we're replacing those with the amusements in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the word amusement from the dictionary means without thinking. Now, weigh that for a minute. I'm going to amuse myself with
mindless
activity. Yes, whether it is your games, whether it's your amusement parks, and I'm not against any of those, but if that becomes our reason for living, if that becomes our escape, if that becomes the excuse that we don't become quiet with God and concentrate on what he says is important, then we are more than missing the boat. Another thing, rather than getting in and becoming a disciple or a student of the Word,
that is so true.
We go to the internet for our theology. We go find out what somebody else's opinion. And by the way, there may be some very excellent truths on the internet. We have some excellent, excellent teachers that are teaching the Word of God in a non-compromised form. And I so appreciate those people that are paying the price of holding to the truth. But we need to realize that compromise and comfort have replaced commitment. We don't want to be committed. And you know, the social services and the way we even visit with each other. If I don't like what you say in a text, I just don't answer you.
Yeah.
Whereas if we are face to face, then there has to be some sort of resolve, or we can more correctly interpret what's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hear something secondhand, I'm getting it through somebody else's opinion and filter system, and that can lead to misunderstandings and mm-hmm. suspicions. So we need to make sure that when we socialize, and now here is kind of one of those get on your hobby horse. But when we socialize, I've been in two different kind of socializing setups within the church.
Okay.
I've been in one where we come and we talk about current activities. We talk about current things within the community. We may talk about each other. And we really just socialize as if we could be non-believers just getting together for a bridge party. Then there is the fellowshipping that still has a social aspect to it, but it's all hinged around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's the center, and we might bring in current events. How does the current events going on right now relate to the Lord Jesus Christ? My word, we've had some very strange weather. And again, realizing that God says he's in control of the mm-hmm. weather. We go on and on and on, but he still is the hub. And we're sending out spokes from that hub. And so there's great fellowshipping and there is socializing. But some saints want to get together and really they're happy if they never mention the name of Jesus Christ. It's all earth-centered.
So what's the difference that you experience in those two different settings?
Oh, emotionally, Sharon, emotionally, I'm frazzled. I find myself when I just go socialize because I just want to be with other Christian women.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I can find myself becoming disengaged because all of a sudden I realize the one I love the most, Jesus Christ, has been left out of the event, whether mm-hmm. it's an evening event or a daytime event. He's still in there, your presence, but you never acknowledge him. It's like he's the uninvited guest. And so I find myself becoming detached and sometimes saddened because I'm thinking, can't we just speak of him?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are going to be held accountable by him.
Right.
And then I can go to a different area and have a conversation where Jesus Christ is just talked about. Maybe they question, I don't understand why the Lord's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or how is the Lord involved in these events that are happening in another part of the world? But
right.
he's still an invited Listen. Guest and acknowledged it so.
And so when you leave that situation, you leave with a better emotional
I leave with
state.
Peace. I leave uplifted. I leave with a sense of peace and contentment. And that it was good to be around the saints. Now, do those saints still have problems? And maybe they even voiced some at that gathering. But it still was not a gripe session as it was a seeking session
mm-hmm.
to see how the Savior could come in and be the solution.
Right.
Is that enough S's in one sentence?
Yes.
I didn't pre-script that, I can assure you. So, at any rate, we need to recognize that whatever we do, that even though they may not be wrong in themselves, if they're not centered around the person, then we're missing the purpose of how we should be functioning and living here. And so then we do have another benefit, and it's our inheritance. And this is maybe a little more sobering because it seems like the inheritance is got a few sobering words.
Okay.
It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And here comes a statement. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We at all costs, especially in America, avoid suffering at all cost. The rest of the world many times does not have that option. They are born into suffering, and they must live in that suffering, and they must learn to how to count it all joy. And you know, Sharon, they may have an easier time than we do, because we have to give up so much of flesh and self that we have been afforded. And so I take my hat off today to all of those that are born in a country where there is life-threatening events every day, to where they may not have the bare essentials, and yet they choose to stand for their Savior at all costs.
And rely upon Him in
totally, for food and raiment and everything.
Yeah. Proverbs 30, verse 8, it says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I love that verse of scripture. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor, but help me to just rely on you, that you would sustain me.
Help me prioritize my priorities. Exactly. Well, that's a perfect verse. So thank you, Lord, for that verse, because that certainly meets the content that we're speaking of today. When we are in this crucible, Sharon, it's very easy for us to believe that God has just gotten busy with everybody else. And when you stop and look at the millions of people that profess to be in his family, it's hard for you to realize that the eye is on the sparrow, that he knows the numbers of the hairs on your head, that as Psalms 139 says, he has turned more towards you the thoughts than the sand, the grains of sand in the sea. It's hard to comprehend that. And David said, it was in my afflictions that you have enlarged me. So nothing so has detached me from the things of this world and the life of my senses as earthly trials. So we need to remember, and here is the painful thing, that God has permitted these things to come to us. Ouch! Yeah. Where's the love of God? It must be accepted as his appointment and considered as the furnace that he is allowing as he is searching and testing and probing and purifying our souls. So some people, in fact, I had someone the other day, Sharon, say, oh, I hear what you're saying, and I believe it's true, but you don't understand how much pain and trouble that I'm living in right now. I am in the crisis of my life, and it keeps going on and on and on. And the source of my crisis is like a needle. It's like a bad case of neuropathy. You know how you can get pains and they're just like stabbing little needles and they won't go away and they move around all over your body. Well, this is where this particular person was voicing their weariness. I do love my God. I've known him for a half a century, but this is the trial of my life. And you talk to me about the bema. I just can't comprehend focusing on that right now. So making our choices today are influencing how we are going to be, let's just say for the millennial, that's 1,000 years, not to mention eternity. And we're missing the boat because of 10 or 20 years here that we are overwhelmed. So sometimes pain can be more than what we can handle, but then it puts new meaning to James 1 when it tells us to count it all joy when you get into these testings. Count it all joy.
And I think that if we are looking at the trial, if we are looking at the struggle or the situation that we're in, then we tend to try to fix those things ourselves. And I think what James is really saying to us is when we can rely upon the Lord, put our focus on him, and allow Him to stretch us, to mold us, to shape us. God, what are you trying to teach me here? How can I be refined in you? When we do that, then we can count it joy.
Yes. But joy is really a state. Excuse me, I interrupted you.
You're right.
It is a state. It's not a feeling, and we have to keep going back to that. And I tell you where I've got caught unawares is I will think that I am fully for God, that I have got it all on the altar, and Lord, we are just moving like the bullet train down the road to victory. And then He brings the fire again. And then I discover, as Job did, how much dross there still is within me. And maybe how little real patience and resignation to my circumstances, trusting Him, and faith that I truly own. Somebody asked me yesterday, do you see more benefit in adversity or prosperity? And I find that I don't grow in prosperity, but I do grow in adversity. Sorrow and grief and loss that you and I've talked about is really the refiner's crucible. So we need to really look at this event through the mind of the refiner. Now, Sharon, the judgment seat is on the docket. It has been assigned. Only He knows the court date, but it is set with the judge, and no Christian will be absent from that time when it is to come. We will all give an account when He calls us to the judgment seat of Christ.
And so we really need to take it into consideration in our daily walk.
Yes, I'll just give you a personal way as an example. It certainly doesn't have to be followed. Everyone can have a different tactic. But when I wake up of a morning, I first of all rejoice in the Lord. That's what Philippians 4 has told us to do. And then I praise the Lord because of salvation, the atonement, the resurrection, so that we know that we are the only one that has a God that is alive, that is not in the grave. Mm-hmm. And then I recognize, Lord, what's important to you? And it's just very sweetly through the scriptures that comes back that you would know me. Because you will have a reckoning as we get ready to take you into the eternal state of how you will live in the millennial and how you'll live in the New Jerusalem. And the determining factor or the revealing factor is going to be that court date at the Bema or the Bema. I've heard it said both ways by many godly people.
I think that there's an inheritance here that we get with Christ, even in the suffering that we don't take full advantage of. And that is just living that resurrected life each day.
Yes.
And the Lord has really laid on my heart the resurrection life. We only really scratch the surface of what God has promised us in His Word. That we can have and partake of and have inheritance of and be joint heirs with Him right now.
Yes. We have to be willing to let the Lord bring into our lives what He needs to. And He tells us that we're to take up our cross. We don't take up His cross because we could never pay for someone's sins. But we are to take up our cross and deny ourselves. So let me just say that without the cross of Jesus Christ, there's no rewards and there's no crowns.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to recap the general rewards that we talked about today. And first of all, we had praise, 1 Corinthians 4:5. We have honor, John 12:26. We have treasure, Matthew 6. And inheritance, Romans 8:17. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at sharonhearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, hearts, HEARTS.org.